Welcome to Local Talk Friday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, events, and places in central Iowa. Thank you for listening. I am Pat Schlarbaum, your host for the hour, with station manager and engineer Mike Murphy, and co-host Mike Metz is here. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Pat.
What's new on your Prairie Winds Prairie Farm this morning?
Well, this morning there was actually pheasants sitting up on a couple of the branches and one fence post. I think they were trying to warm up a little bit.
Well, you'll have this on a cool June morning. And there is a full slate of Local Talk guests in the wing, so to speak, with this third day of June 2022 and the 100th day of the war in Ukraine.
And it's currently 51 degrees, a little bit cool, but pleasantly cool, I would say. Today will be partly sunny and pleasant at 79 degrees with slight breezes in the 3 to 6 mile an hour range. Possible rains over the weekend and into next week with highs in the 70s. Pretty much rainy into a nice June forecast all in all. Welcome Dennis Hart right now with a summary of the news from last week's local papers.
Tragedy tops the news in Ames this Friday morning. Three people were shot to death, including the shooter, outside the Cornerstone Church in Ames last night. During an evening college ministry event, shots were fired outside the church on the eastern edge of Ames near Interstate 35 and Highway 30. Details were sketchy last night, but KCCI News reported that a male drove up, got out of a vehicle, opened fire on two people, then killed himself. Law enforcement from several agencies rushed to the scene. Now let's go back to where we usually start. Last Friday's Ames Tribune, which reported that Iowa's coronavirus infection rate had gone up slightly last week when it averaged about 566 new confirmed cases each day. That was a 3% hike over the previous week and the smallest gain in more than a month. The state reported 3,960 new cases, not including infections confirmed by at-home testing, because the state does not track those. The number of people hospitalized because of the virus in Iowa went down last week to 139, compared to 145 the week before. And the health department reported 16 new deaths caused by the virus, bringing the state's death toll to 9,588 since the pandemic started. There was also word that a state board had approved plans for a new outpatient surgery center in Ames, the first of its kind in the city. It would be a partnership between Mary Greeley Medical Center and the McFarland Clinic. It's expected to reduce the need for rescheduling, improve affordability, and help with surgeon retention and recruitment. Doctors at the center will perform endoscopies and surgeries where patients can go home the same day or be kept up to 23 hours if necessary. Right now, most area surgeries are done at Mary Greeley, where room or staff shortages mean an elective surgery could get postponed. The Trib also reported that the state legislature had adjourned its 2022 session, one where Republicans had rallied around priorities like a nearly $2 billion tax cut, cuts to jobless benefits, and restrictions on transgender athletes. But Republicans, who control both legislative chambers, fell short on one of their highest-profile efforts, a push for legislation they said would expand parental choice and transparency in education. Saturday's Tribune reported that staffing shortages would cause the pool at the Furman Aquatic Center in Ames to have limited availability over the Memorial Day weekend. Last Saturday morning, the pool was open for long course lap swimming, and on both Saturday and Sunday, it was open for water walking and adult lap swimming for a short time each day. The city said there had been a significant drop in the number of applicants for staffing positions at the Aquatic Center. Lifeguards are especially needed at Furman, and training takes about 27 hours. Other Iowa communities face some of the same staffing problems, and some have been forced to consolidate operations and open fewer facilities or reduce their hours of operation. And there was also word last Saturday that fifth graders in Gilbert have been helping at the Ronald McDonald House in Des Moines and learning about how sick children are being treated. They've donated $250 in grant money that they received to the Ronald McDonald House Charities of Central Iowa, and they visited the McDonald House in Des Moines, where they made brownies, spoke with a volunteer coordinator, and took a tour. And the Trib reported that Iowa poultry producers were hoping this year's outbreak of the bird flu, which has forced the destruction of millions of chickens and turkeys to stem its spread, is coming to an end. It's been 5 weeks since a case of bird flu has been reported in an Iowa commercial facility, and more than 3 weeks since an infection had been spotted in a backyard flock. But experts said it was still too soon to call an end to the threat. Sunday's Trib reported that the city of Ames has continued growing in population even during some of the worst of the coronavirus pandemic. City leaders say future growth will be limited by how much housing is available, and there's not enough. The most recent census figure showed that Ames added 469 residents between April 2020 and July of last year, for a total of 66,424 residents. Iowa State University students make up half of Ames' population, and there have been recent drops in student enrollment. The president and CEO of the Ames Chamber of Commerce, Dan Culhane, said he thinks Ames will continue to grow, but only at the pace that there's housing for the jobs being created in the area. And while Ames did grow between 2020 and last year, the number of houses in the market went down by more than 100, while housing sales were at their highest level in several years. City Council members voted in April to go ahead with the subdivision of affordable housing at 321 State Street, in spite of the project needing more city money in the absence of available tax credits. And the Trib had word of a program at the University of Northern Iowa that's attempting to educate people about dementia by using a so-called dementia simulation house. It's operated in the university's gerontology program, and it's drawing about a dozen students a year who plan to make a career out of working with people who are much older than they are. Anyone can sign up online for a free simulation in a three-bedroom Cedar Falls home. Participants wear special glasses, which makes familiar hallways into a maze and makes such mundane tasks as finding a coffee cup or a book feel cumbersome. The idea is to try to show those taking part what it's like every day for a person who suffers from dementia. Tuesday's paper reported that voting for next Tuesday's June 7th primary election in Iowa was looking more typical than it had in 2020 during the coronavirus pandemic. Story County Auditor Lucy Martin said that as of last Friday, her office had received more than 1,100 ballots, most of them by mail. She said that tracks closely with what the office saw in 2018, not 2020, when absentee voting turnout had gone up because of voter fears about going to the polls during the pandemic. This year's early voting window has been shortened from 29 to 20 days, and ballots must arrive in the auditor's office by 8 o'clock on election night next Tuesday. This is also the first election with new precinct boundaries, which means that while many polling locations are the same as in previous years, where an individual voter should go to cast his or her ballot may have changed. Tuesday's Trib also reported that as more and more customers return to in-person shopping in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic, grocers are making changes to their e-commerce strategies. West Des Moines-based Hy-Vee says some of its stores will stop offering online pickup and delivery services as a cost-saving measure. Grocers' online and delivery orders increased by around 50% during the pandemic. But Hy-Vee says the company makes no money on what it processes in e-commerce. And the Trib reported that famed Iowa opera singer Simon Estes has received an honorary doctorate from the Juilliard School, a private performing arts conservatory in New York City. Estes was born in Centerville, Iowa, graduated from the University of Iowa, and attended Juilliard on a scholarship. He has performed more than 100 roles in 84 major opera houses, and is the only person to perform for the 25th, 50th, and 75th anniversaries of the United Nations. Wednesday's Trib reported that Ames police had charged a 15-year-old male with attempted murder after an early morning shooting on Memorial Day in the city. Officers went to Mary Greeley Hospital, where the victim, an 18-year-old male, had arrived with a gunshot wound. The shooting had taken place in the 600 block of South 17th Street. The 15-year-old was taken into custody on Tuesday. The Trib also reported that the Des Moines International Airport is asking for $1 million from Story County and $1 million more from local cities to help build a new terminal. The airport's executive director, Kevin Foley, made the request at Tuesday's Story County Board of Supervisors meeting. The terminal expansion would nearly double the current number of gates from 12 to 22 in 4 years. The airport is asking that more than $30 million of the $411 million project be covered by cities and counties around central Iowa. The county supervisors did not vote on the proposal on Tuesday. There was also word that a Slater daycare home plans to expand this fall. The Stepping Stones childcare business, which is now licensed for up to 8 children, plans to have 142 spaces this fall. The Iowa Department of Human Services reports there are 90 childcare centers in Story County. 39 of those are in Ames. Yesterday's paper reported that a Nevada student will compete in National History Day's virtual contest later this month. Middle school 8th grader Lillian Frederis, who is 14 years old, created a website called Vietnamese Refugees in Iowa, Ray's Humanitarian and Controversial Relocation. It's about former Iowa Governor Robert Ray's decision to welcome refugees to Iowa in 1979, even though a Des Moines Register poll showed 51% of Iowans opposed it. Lillian's project is a personal one because her grandparents sheltered some of those Vietnamese who came over. She is the only student from the Ames, Nevada, Ballard, Gilbert, or Roland Story school districts to compete in the National History Day finals. And the Trib said it's time to get your lawn chairs and picnic baskets ready and to head out to enjoy music at several free and low-cost outdoor music series this summer in Iowa. Wineries in Ames, Madrid, and Cambridge all feature live music on Sundays. Roosevelt Park in Ames is the site for the Roosevelt Summer Sundays music series. And Banshell Park in Ames is the site for music concerts on Friday nights in June and Thursday nights in both June and July. The Thursday night concerts in Ames started last night with the first municipal band concert of the season at Banshell Park. The Trib had a complete list of all the upcoming concerts in yesterday's paper. And that is your look at the past week's news from the pages of the Ames Tribune. I'm Dennis Hart, talking, not singing, my way out of here for the weekend, and planning to pop right back here into the same virtual seat on Local Talk on Monday morning at 7, when I'll recount what's been making news all around Iowa. Between now and then, maybe we'll see each other on the street as we all make our way through a safe, healthy, and happy weekend.
There's a red moon rising on the Cuyahoga River, rolling into Cleveland to the lake. There's a red moon rising on the Cuyahoga River, rolling into Cleveland to the lake. There's an oil barge winding down the Cuyahoga River, rolling into Cleveland to the lake. There's an oil barge winding down the Cuyahoga River, rolling into Cleveland to the lake. Cleveland, city of light, city of magic. Cleveland, city of light, you're calling me. Cleveland, even now I can remember, 'cause the Cuyahoga River goes smoking through my dreams. Burn on, big river, burn on. Burn on, big river, burn on. Now the Lord can make you tumble, the Lord can make you turn, the Lord can make you overflow, but the Lord can't make you burn. Burn on, big river, burn on. Burn on, big river, burn on.
Thank you, Dennis Hart, with your Week in the News. And yes, have a safe, happy, healthy weekend. And the music interlude was Burn On, Big River by Randy Newman in recognition of National Rivers Month. Of course, a reference to a time that said enough with polluting our rivers in 1969. And a course direction was changed. And as people say, we came to a fork in the road and we took it to cleaner rivers with no more burning river issues. For now, it definitely places me squarely back to the early 70s where the Ames reunion is focusing. It'll be coming up June 10th, 11th, and 12th. Go to amesreunion.org to learn more. Let's welcome Herman Quernbach, an incumbent senator from District 23. Welcome, Senator Quernbach.
Well, good morning.
Good morning to you. And I see you've been our senator for 5 consecutive terms.
That is correct.
And when I say my senator, I live in Milford Township, but I understand through redistricting that you're no longer my senator.
Well, I am until January. The old districts hold until the newly elected people are sworn in.
Okay.
But yes, Ames has grown to the point that it actually doesn't entirely fit into one Senate district. So next year, if I'm elected, I will lose a precinct in Southeast Ames. I still have Grant Township to the southeast, but you're right. I lose Milford. I also lose Washington Township, and I lose Kelly. So I'm pretty much just Ames plus Grant Township.
I see. Well, how do you feel about the redistricting overall?
Well, I did follow the format that we have here in Iowa, and I think it is one of the best procedures any place in the country. There was the possibility with one party in control of both houses of the legislature and the governorship that they could have overridden that that procedure, but in the end they chose not to, so that's fine. The map that we got were drawn with regard to where incumbents lived. We're drawn so the districts are compact and contiguous within the legislative meaning of those words. So I think it's a fairly fair process, and I'm pleased. I will be pleased to continue to represent Ames.
I see. Well, thank you for that clarification, Senator. And why is it that you feel you would like to run for a sixth term?
Well, I think I still have some things to contribute. I'm a pretty strong advocate for education. And if you're going to represent Ames, I think you have to be an education advocate. I'm the ranking member on the education committee. I chaired it when we were in the majority for 6 years. You know, I think that advocating for, and it's not just for the university, but although obviously the university is the dominant institution in Ames, but it's for education at all levels, pre-K through K-12 and the community colleges. Of course, we also have a branch of DMAC in Ames, so all levels are represented.
Well, I appreciate that assessment of your candidacy, and do you have a political science background?
You've been reading my vita, I think. I was an undergraduate major in government. Just switched into economics when I got to graduate school, and really because economics is so central to so many public policy issues.
Are you currently on staff with Iowa State University?
No, I retired from teaching about 3 years ago. I still have a research project I'm working away at, so I still have a connection to the university.
I see.
I've got about 10,000 former students wandering around the state and elsewhere. I run into those students on a fairly regular basis.
Oh, I'm sure. Well,
not quite that I recommend that I remember all of them, but it is kind of fun.
Well, that certainly is. And I'm chuckling because I'm going to be 71, so I try to keep track of names and faces, but do the best I can. And I'm sure you do too. Mm-hmm. Well, can we kind of review back? What was your interest in politics that created your candidacy, and would it been 2002 then?
That was my first run for the Senate. I actually served a couple of terms, or not quite two full terms, on the city council before that.
Oh, okay.
So I go back even further than you initially thought.
Uh-huh. Well, what was it about your service there with the Ames City Council that were you able to grow into being a statewide politician?
Well, the The interest in public policy, it's really more an interest in public policy.
I see.
An interest in partisan politics. I do the political stuff because that's kind of what you have to do to get elected and go out and campaign and things like that. But my interest is in doing good public policy to serve the community. I had a very rewarding service on the city council. It was during that time that we created the Ada Hayden Heritage Park, added the biggest park to the city's park system.
Mm-hmm.
We added the third fire station down on South Duff. And one thing that I was particularly involved in, I actually made the initial suggestion, was passing what was then the first restaurant smoking ban in the state of Iowa. And it was based on that experience and the very strong positive reaction it got in the community that we were later able in 2008 to pass a statewide smoking restriction, not just for restaurants, but really for all places of work, to protect workers and customers from secondhand smoke.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very proud of that. That seemed to be something else that we could pursue at the state level as well.
I see. Well, you in some regards you changed the world with those smoking issues that were so prevalent.
Well, with a lot of help from a lot of people, you don't get anything done by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you come up with an idea that resonates with people, and the smoking ban did, then you can get things done. Along the way, though, at the city level, we did have to make a number of compromises. We didn't ban, I use the word ban, we didn't ban smoking in restaurants entirely, but what we worked out was that smoking would be prohibited up until 8:30 at night. Well, most restaurants are pretty close to closing at 8:30 at night, and mm-hmm. so a lot of them decided that they wouldn't open smoking at that hour. And but making that compromise got enough support together. We actually passed that ordinance unanimously, I think the community should be very proud of that.
Oh, I think so. Thank you, and thank you for in those regards. And a reference to Ada Hayden, my gosh, the crown jewel of our Ames Recreational Park system. How did you view that as one of your activities back on the city council? Was that one of your crown jewels also?
It wasn't. That one wasn't my idea originally. Ted Tedesco was mayor at the time that we launched that idea, and Ted was central in getting that idea going. He's since served on the County Conservation Board and did a lot of good things there, so much mm-hmm. so that the county's most recent addition to its park system is named for Ted down at the ISU Research Park. So, again, its ability to work with other people. We had to pass a bond referendum. I think that the number was $5 million, mm-hmm. Which is, a fairly big number for a city our size.
Yes.
But the people who got together and got behind that campaign, it was just an amazing number of people and people willing to take on responsibility and go out and knock on doors. You need 60% to pass a bond referendum. And 60% is a big number. We actually got, I think, 86% on that referendum. And it was a time, with that referendum passed barely 2 months after the 9/11 tragedies in New York and Pennsylvania and Washington, D.C. So people had a lot of reason to sit on their wallets. But this community recognized the value of that project and went out and it got super majority support. And I think that decision has been handsomely rewarded.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, that's why I bring it up. It certainly is a crown jewel. So are there other priorities that you have in the coming election cycle? What are the things that you be emphasizing this fall during the election, your priorities?
Well, one of the things that I'd like to do, and builds on the topic you just mentioned, is to get a proposal passed along the lines of the along the lines of the referendum that we passed back in 2010. The voters approved a constitutional amendment that said the next time we raise sales taxes, if we do, the first 3/8 of a penny would be dedicated to outdoor recreation, conservation, environmental uses. Now, the voters passed that. I think it got 62-63%. I mean, it was over, yes, again, a huge positive margin. The legislature has so far failed to follow through and actually increase the tax so as to fund that trust fund. I'd like to see that get done. You know, we have a lot of wonderful natural areas in Iowa. Our land is more heavily cultivated than any other state. A greater percentage of the land is developed for agriculture. But there are prairies, remnants, there are woods, there are streams. There are a lot of things that we could help to protect and enhance. And that has a positive benefit, not just on the quality of life for those of us who are here, but it also is a positive as far as attracting future economic development. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the key things that I would like to get done. I'm not a big fan of sales tax. It tends to fall disproportionately on people lower income. But the voters approved that, and on the other side of the argument, I'd argue that going out and walking in a state park is something that people can do without a lot of expense. So it really does also benefit people up and down the income ladder.
So good of you to weave in the economic of these conservation measures. Well, and so before we run out of time, what else would you like the voters to know about yourself?
Well, I have a strong interest in civil rights and civil liberties. I was very proud in 2007 to vote to expand the civil rights statutes in Iowa to include LGBTQ people. And I think that that is something we need to continue to work on. We've made a lot of progress on that, but some of those gains have come under attack recently. You know, I economic development certainly is a priority as well. We need to have jobs for people coming out of school. We invest a lot in education, and that's to prepare them for the world of work. But there have to be jobs waiting for them. And I think we're doing a reasonably good job at that. But, we have to continue to pay attention to that as well.
Senator Herman Quirnbach, thank you so much for coming on Local Talk. We emphasize the open microphone forum at this during this primary season, and we wish you well. Good luck. And do you have any other closing remarks?
Well, we're talking Friday morning, the 3rd of June. I think that we have to acknowledge the tragedy that happened last night out at Cornerstone Church. We're a little short on details, but two women were killed by a shooter who then apparently took his own life. The ongoing tragedies of gun violence in this country have now come home to Ames. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to think very seriously about adopting measures that will limit access to firearms, to the type of firearms. We also obviously have to deal with mental health better than we have been doing. People will point to this cause or that cause. Really, the right answer is all of the above. We have to deal with people before they get in crisis so that they don't resort to violence. And we have to limit the type of violence that they can visit on the community.
Well, yes, our heartfelt appreciation for your remarks. Senator Herman Quirnbach, senator from this district 23 here in Ames.
23, it will be 25 with the redistricting. I moved up two notches. Number-wise, okay. The district doesn't change a whole lot, but the number changed a couple of notches.
Well, thank you for that clarification, and thank you for appearing on Local Talk.
My pleasure. Thank you for the time.
Okay.
You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. For you've got a friend in me. Yeah, you've got a friend in me.
Got a friend in me. Oh, you got a friend in me. You got troubles and I got them too. But there isn't anything that I wouldn't do for you. We stick together and can see it through. 'Cause you got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me.
Some of the folks might be a little bit smarter than I am.
Maybe bigger and stronger too.
Maybe, but none of them could ever love you the way I do.
Oh, it's me and you, boy.
And as the years go by,
well, our friendship will never die.
You're gonna see it's our destiny. You got a friend in me.
And you got a friend in me.
Yeah, you got a friend in me.
And a little more Randy Newman, You've Got a Friend. It is 7:33 on your Friday. You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. And I'm your host for the hour, Pat Schlarbaum, with co-host Mike Metz and engineer Mike Murphy. Let's welcome Susan Guiazda, Public Information Officer for the City of Ames. Hi, Susan. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, it's so wonderful to have you with us on a beautiful June morning. But my goodness, what a tragedy at the Cornerstone Church last night.
Yeah, following up on Senator Quirnbach's remarks, we want to send our thoughts and prayers out to the families at Cornerstone. This is just devastating for our community. Mm-hmm. Last night we had Council Night at the Bandshell, and the news was starting to trickle in, and it was just a somber way to realize the impact that these actions have on our communities and how we need to come together and build the community that we want to live in. You know, there are just no words to describe the thoughts that people are experiencing right now as mm-hmm. a parent, you know, as a congregant, as a community member. We just all want to live in a safe community, and mm-hmm. These things just shake us to our core.
Yeah, they sure do. But I will want to keep our thoughts and focuses on those families and our condolences and heartfelt sympathy does go out. But we do have another day, and as they say here in Central Iowa, paradise of Ames, Iowa. And do you have any other announcements?
Yes, we do live in a beautiful community, and we do have work that continues each and every day. The passage of time is tricky. I was alerted to the fact that this July is an anniversary, and it was a shocking one for me. It is the fifth anniversary of the opening of our water treatment plant.
Oh my goodness.
So doesn't that seem like it was just yesterday that water treatment plant was brand new and we were opening the doors? 5 years have passed, and we are just going to as we just sort of look back and look for these milestone events, that one caught me off guard. So 5 years from the ribbon cutting of the Ames Water Treatment Plant on East 13th Street, it's been a beautiful facility and a wonderful addition to the city of Ames utilities. And I think Ames Water still remains on top. It is the best water I've ever had.
I think I can agree with that also. I see you've brought a guest, Justin Claussen, with you.
I have. Justin is very busy, like always. He is year-round. He is the year-round jack-of-all-trades, public works operations manager. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't really understand the title, but Justin can talk a little bit more about what he's been doing and what they're keeping busy with this summer.
I'm not sure I understand the title either.
Well, you're our key number one guy to keep, as they say, the trains running on time. You keep us moving from North Ames to South Ames and West Ames to East Ames and all across the town, right. Justin.
It's funny that, Susan, you mentioned the water treatment plant, because there's a large construction project going on just west of there. If you've been on the east side of town, East 13th Street, from the hospital east over to the River Valley, there's a lot of work going on there. And one of the things that project is doing in conjunction with the street reconstruction is we're upgrading the water distribution utilities underground there. And a lot of that has to do with future planning for the water treatment plant to one day have all of the pumping capacity at that plant to push out all the water into the community.
Oh my gosh.
Right now there's a separate pumping station that's south of the old water treatment plant by the railroad tracks. And that's kind of the main place where we push all the water into the community. But as part of the plan, as Ames grows, the overall thought was over the next, 10 plus years, we will add pumping capacity at the new water treatment plant. In doing so, of course, you need to make sure you've got your infrastructure in place. So the road project where we're rebuilding the street there also ties in real nicely with getting the water infrastructure in place, so that can happen when the time is right.
And I might comment, I live east of town, so quite often I'm coming into Ames on 13th Street, and it's doable. I like to go by A to Hayden as an alternative, but it is a restriction, but you'll have these things. And we are able to move into Ames relatively painlessly. Your crews are keeping us on the move.
Yeah, that's for sure. This project is going to take, the rest of the summer. If you're familiar with what went on west of there on the couple blocks west last year, it's going to take the rest of the year. It really is. There's just a lot of underground work that needs to be done, and they're making good progress on that. The construction season started off slow with some of the rain, and now we're starting to get some a little bit more milder weather, at least, to where we can get some progress going. So look for that. That'll be going on for a while. You'll see construction that'll swap from one side to the other. But the good part, as you said, Pat, it's going to be doable. There's always going to be traffic in one lane in each direction. Just plan on a little more time if you're over that way. But we'll get you in and around the area.
Mm-hmm. And it's good to know that infrastructure needs going to the pumping station. I wasn't aware of that. So that's progress. That's, at some point you're going to have to logistically rework things, and maintenance is, I guess, one of your cornerstones of your public works operation. Are there other projects you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, if anybody gets downtown, they've probably seen we've had the pavers being replaced on the 300 block, so basically between Burnett and Kellogg along Main Street there. So we had some of the pavers that went in the late 90s. They really experienced a lot of deterioration from de-icing chemicals, freeze-thaw cycles, and that sort of stuff, to the point where we were having to replace a good number of them every year. So it was a few years ago that we started looking at our pile of replacements and realizing we don't have any more. So you reach out to the manufacturer and say, okay, can we get some more of these? And they say, well, we don't even make them, and we don't have any of that anymore. So we have to start thinking of how can we do this to, you know, keep our downtown vibrant and new, mm-hmm. and yet still find a product that works. So through all that, we decided that the best course of action was actually to replace the pavers themselves. So it was a project that started, really kicked off last year, and we're in the second phase of it right now. We're just about done with the second phase up to Kellogg. We're doing some work around the Sheldon Mun, if you're familiar with that area there, mm-hmm. northwest corner of Kellogg and Main Street. We're almost done with that part of it, and then we'll be jumping to the subsequent two blocks to the east with the whole goal of having all the pavers replaced here this calendar year. And so one of the advantages of doing the paver replacement is we're able to keep access to the businesses during construction. Like anything, you mentioned it well before, it's doable. Is it perfect? But we can get you parked on Main Street, and we can get you access to front doors. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, the construction has gone fairly rapidly to the point where we might be in front of a certain business or a few businesses for about a week to 10 days, maybe, to where we can get through there. But the whole time, we're maintaining access. So if people need to get to a certain business on Main Street, it's available. But that's something that's going on downtown that we're really proud of. We've worked really closely with Ames Main Street and a lot of the businesses down there to get things done, so that way they can maintain that sort of stuff going through the year.
And, you know, I've lived in Ames a number of years, and now with the farmers markets and the different art walks and music walks, and those type of amenities really matter at those times. It seems like we're just in a frame of mind that we're going to enjoy the community. And you notice those details of those pavings and things that I didn't miss it 30 years ago, or even 20 years ago, or think there was a need, but I sure welcome it now. It just makes a kind of a welcome mat, if you will.
that's a great point. We're looking to make our community, you know, more inclusive and inviting, and especially for not only, you know, a lot of people think about a public works, so, you know, what we do as transportation as vehicle based. But we're so much more than that. All modes of transportation, especially pedestrians, you know, in the downtown area. So we take a look at that as a big goal of what we and council wants to push forward.
In some ways, they kind of connect all the works of art and the historic buildings. And it really blends in well to the downtown area.
So, Pat, if I could go back to your statement about it being doable, I love that, because one of the great conundrums of our public works projects are that they're so necessary and needed, but they're so irritating and inconvenient for people. And so if you can just hang with us, show a little patience, it's doable. I know that the Main Street project is a little disruptive. But the bottom line is, when it's done, it'll be wonderful, and people will really appreciate it. It's that in-between phase that tries people's patience. And this is the season. This is where we work hard and get this stuff done so you can enjoy it later. Everybody loves the finished project, and it's quickly fades the inconvenience. So just stick with us.
Yeah. Well, the bridge over Grand Avenue there on West Main, it was an inconvenience for a time, but look at the new face, or it's a new showcase that it provides. So
I like to share with people too that if you think about it, we can plan things when we do the reconstruction. If we don't do it, if we say we don't want to inconvenience people and we wait till the very end, then we're forced to do it under worse circumstances, and usually it takes longer and all that stuff. So I find most people are amenable to it to a point. You've got to work through them. So we do appreciate the patience of everyone very much.
Well, it is a Friday, and I know you contribute mightily to our Ames community. Is there anything else that maybe we can kind of wrap up in a tidy manner here?
I think what I would share is just as you're moving around the community, there's lots of construction going on. You'll see lots of other projects. Take your time. Slow down. There are workers and families inside those work zones. Make sure you give them plenty of room. And in between your other drivers or pedestrians or walking, however you're doing it, just take your time, plan a little more time. We'll get through it, and it's all doable. I think that's a good phrase for today.
How about you, Susan?
I just think as we get through this week, to show some kindness today, maybe some grace and kindness. We could all use that. It's been tough for a lot of people, and we never know what other people are going through. So let's make it our goal today to be kind.
Oh, thank you so much. Those are such wonderful sentiments. Well, have a good weekend, folks, and we'll look forward to seeing you again. Thank you, Justin Claussen. Thank you, Susan Guiazda.
Thank you.
Got a gun in my holster, got a horse between my knees, and I'm going to Arizona. Pardon me, boys, if you please.
I have been a desperado, raped and pillaged across the plain, and I'm going to Arizona just to ride her in the rain.
He's a rider in the rain. He's a rider in the rain. And I'm going to Arizona just to ride. My mother's in St. Louis, bride's in Tennessee, so I'm going to Arizona with my banjo on my knee.
He's a rider in the rain.
I'm riding in the rain.
He's a rider in the rain.
Like Joan Sutherland and Kermit the Frog. Used to work in Uncle's feed store. Well, he was fighting in the war. Now I'm going to Arizona. Ain't gonna work for him no more. I'm a son of the prairie and the wind that sweeps the plain, so I'm going to Arizona just to ride her in the rain.
He's a rider in the rain. He's a rider in the rain. And I'm going to Arizona just to ride.
Then Randy Newman with Linda Ronstadt and Rye Cooter, Rider in the Rain. Let's welcome ISU Extension Jess Soderstrom.
Hi, thanks for having me this morning.
Well, thank you for being on Local Talk, Jess. How's the world of ISU Extension these days?
Oh, it is good. We're getting busier and busier as the summer proceeds, as everybody is in the summertime. Everybody is busy and has a lot going on.
Well, I know you always have a lot going on, but is this possibly one of your busier times of year?
I think it definitely is, yeah. Especially with my role with the 4-H program. We are preparing for the Story County Fair later in the summer, mid-July.
And it is kind of a rainy forecast, so I think if it rains in June, it's just going to help the gardens and help all those things that we need so much here in Iowa. So life
definitely,
is good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, life is good.
So do you have other 4-H activities you'd like to share with us?
Sure. Well, I did just want to take a moment to even just promote talk about the 4-H program. In case there's some listeners that is not familiar, I know not everybody grew up in 4-H like I did, and not everybody has direct ties to the 4-H program, so sometimes it can be hard to know exactly what it is and what all that program does for the youth in Story County and all youth in Iowa.
I think about our international listeners, you know, from other countries that and they go 4-H, what, you know, tell me more about this. It's because it invigorates our youth and shares some pretty positive life skills and principles that you're involved with.
Yes, it does. Yes. So 4-H is a positive youth development program for youth in Story County, or youth really in the entire country, but we'll talk about Story County now.
Well, yeah.
We have two options to be involved in the 4-H program. You can either enroll in the 4-H club program, which is directly related to my role with Story County Extension. But if you're not interested in joining a club and having those monthly experiences, we also have our youth outreach side of 4-H. No enrollment is necessary. You can participate one time. You can participate every single time. But pretty good rule of thumb is when you see either myself or Mary Wilkins or one of our two summer interns this summer, and you see somebody in a red polo that says ISU Extension and it has a little clover on it, you know that you're participating in a 4-H youth development program. So there's a lot of different ways to be involved. But the 4-H program is a community of young people across America, or in this case in Story County, who are learning leadership, citizenship, and life skills offered through a variety of settings and through a variety of ways. So it might look different every single time you participate in a program. It's an option for K through 12th grade. We have a Clover Kids program for our kindergartners through third graders, and then that 4th through 12th grade is in the 4-H program, but they're all tied together.
And the county fair is coming up. When is the county fair this year?
Yeah, the county fair this year is July 20th to the 24th. It's over in Nevada at the Story County Fairgrounds, and there's a wide variety of things to attend and events to watch or to participate in. Some of them are directly, again, tied to the 4-H program, but some of them are open to the public as well. There's different, I know the Story County Fair Association has been planning a lot of different events, but I'm not the expert on those events. But it's the July 20th to the 24th. It's a Wednesday through Sunday. And it's a good way to spend your weekend and maybe learn something new about an animal or meet up with some friends and enjoy the fair. I think the fair is a great opportunity to maybe learn more about the 4-H program and also to for our 4-H members to really showcase and show off all of their accomplishments throughout the year.
You see a lot of beaming youth. That are, you know, they take a lot of pride. So a lot of those projects are underway even as we speak.
Yes, a lot of our projects start at the beginning of the 4-H year in September, and they may not have the animal or the item that they'll bring to the Story County Fair, but they are learning and being involved in the project area, regardless of if they're working on a final project to show at the fair. So it's very interesting, a wide variety of things that the youth come up with to exhibit. I always learn something, at least one thing.
Well, we've got a few more minutes. Are there other workshops or activities for the month of June?
Yes, we have a lot of different youth activities going on. They are a variety through full day camps from like an 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. time, or they may just be a one-hour program. It kind of depends on what you and your family are looking for. But if you're interested in that, those are for youth, and we also have some adult programming too. So if you're interested, I would encourage you to visit our website or give our office a call, and you can download our entire summer programming catalog or our brochure, and you can see that entire schedule. Our website is www.extension.iastate.edu/story, and our phone number is 515-337-1601.
And for stopping in at your offices there on South Bell, what's the address there?
We are at 1421 South Bell Avenue, Suite 107.
Yes.
If you if you struggle to find us, look for the sign. We have a lot of signage on our building, and there is our front windows are covered in photos and other things from programs, so we're easy to spot.
Yeah, right off of East Lincoln Way. Don't go over the interstate. You just miss Bell Avenue, but it's down to your right. You'll see Bell Avenue, and your offices are then down at the end of Bell Avenue. So is there anything else, Jess?
I don't think so. I think that's all I had for today.
Well, thank you so much, Jess Soderstrom with ISU Extension. We look forward to your segments bi-monthly, and it's great to have you with us on Local Talk.
Thank you. It was great to be here today.
Okay. Have a good weekend. Local Talk airs each weekday at 7 a.m. on 89.1 FM. KHOI Local Talk is a training workshop as well as a show. If you have interest in joining the Local Talk team, the welcome mat is out. Come join the Local Talk team at our, and you can go to our website to learn more at khoifm.org or call 515-292-2878. And please remember to support this station financially when you go to the website khoifm.org and find the yellow donate button.
KHOI provides a platform for citizens and public officials to air opinions and information. The views of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of KHOI. KHOI is community, nonprofit, nonpartisan media.
Thank you, Local Talk producer Lyd Carey, and thank you, Dennis Hart, for your Friday report. Thanks to our guests, Herman Quernbach, Justin Clausen, Susan Guiasta, and Jess Soderstrom. And thank you, co-host Mike Metz. I have been your host for the hour, Pat Schlarbaum.
Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. The other artists you heard was Randy Newman, Linda Ronstadt, and Cooter. Stay tuned for headline news and Democracy Now! And Adagio at 9 a.m. Then KHOI War in Ukraine at noon with Svetlana Zurbachek. And hoping you have a great weekend. Enjoy the birds and all the other little critters in your backyard, the weather, and wherever you may be. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.
Melodious and magnificent, but they're also capable of incredible feats.
Birds from Western Alaska, they migrate from Alaska to New Zealand and Australia. I mean, that's a 7,200-mile nonstop flight across the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, and they also fostered conservationism. It's For the Birds on Big Picture Science.
That's Friday at 4 p.m. by my calculation.
This is KHOI, Story City, Ames, and the surrounding area.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I know that we can't prevent every tragedy, but here's what I believe we have to do. Here's what the overwhelming majority of American people believe we must do. Here's what the families and